I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Texans and the Colts. Pregame starts at 4:20. Be me and Seth. I just told Ali she asked if is there a nickname for you guys. I said, yeah, we're the Dream Team, man.
It's not a very original nickname.
That's what people are. I said, that's what people are calling us. And by people, I mean me. Yeah. So 4:20, 7:20 kickoff. And then Clint Sterner and I will have the post game.
That's right, everybody. The show's down at 4:20 if you catch our drift. Speaking of which, don't we have James Palmer on the line?
Yeah. We do. All we got right. James Palmer, the NFL Network, joining us right now. Our good friend who was out at the Texans facility early this morning and now jumping on with us. James, it's good to talk to you. Did you text J.J. Watt like 25,000 other people yesterday?
Yeah, I was the only person that was like, hey, question, do you think they'll use an IR spot on you if you could return by the Super Bowl? Are they trying to? I was actually doing reporting through my text, but he never responded.
He didn't.
Yeah, I did like that Seth jumped right into that 4:20 thing just knowing I live in Colorado.
Yeah,
just threw that right out there in the beginning.
I got to be honest with you, I felt guilty about it because you also do work for the NFL Network.
Right.
Which seems like an organization that might not be all that cool with just me.
James is clean.
James is, look everybody, James is as clean as a whistle.
Okay? Yeah, look at him.
Wow, thanks guys.
Yeah, look at him. So James, it's good to have you as always, man. And you've spent a lot of time covering this team. I know people remember you covering the team back in the early part of the Bill O'Brien era, and that coincided with the beginning of DeAndre Hopkins' career. And I guess you saw him daily in his rookie year, his second year. He was really good back then. Are you surprised that he's become this good to where he's a guy who's leading the Pro Bowl balloting? He's a guy who's talked about as being the best receiver in football?
Actually, I got a great story. So if you remember in my CSN Houston days, one of my coworkers was Keenan McCardell, who's the receivers coach for the Jaguars now. And I remember we knew that they were going to take a receiver with the 27th pick, and we were going through all of them, and Keenan just didn't like Hop. He was just like, I don't know. I can't name a receiver in the league that is kind of pigeon-toed the way Hop is and has been successful. Well, like, probably 2 years ago, I'm doing a Jags game, and I mentioned it to Keenan, and I got like halfway through talking about it, and he just interrupted me and was like, I was wrong. I was dead wrong. I'll just admit it. Like, and it's funny because the growth that he made from year one to year two, you talked to Andre Johnson, who was spending so much time with him, that was a huge jump. The first year wasn't great. He wasn't polished. And the work that he has put in is the reason why he's where he's at now. And I kind of talked about it and told the story this morning on the air. And one of the things that he has worked in this last offseason was he is the guy to move the chains for this team. And they need to do that on Thursday because we know how good this run game for the Colts is, and if they stay on the field, that's trouble, so they need to extend drives. Well, everybody in the world knows Hop is getting the football, especially on third down, and he still finds a way to do it. And one of the things he did this offseason, he told me this week, was study Julian Edelman, who is one of his favorite receivers in football because he keeps the Patriots on the field. He always finds a way to go another 4 or 5 yards and knows where the chains are and has that kind of feel of the field to always keep the Patriots going. And Hop loved that about him and spent a lot of time studying that. I think you can see that this season as another added part of his game to where, you know, he always kind of breaks a tackle or finds a way to fall forward and gets the first down. It's another added part of his game to what makes him so special on top of the unbelievable hands, right? The ability to, you know, use his feet by the sideline. It's just he keeps finding different ways to make his game better each offseason, which makes him special. He's not complacent with where he's at talent-wise. And I think we've seen that as these years have gone by.
We're speaking with James Palmer from the NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at JamesPalmerTV. James, what are you hearing about Vernon Hargraves and exactly how it all went down for him in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because who's the one person that you feel like everybody could get along with? Bruce Arians, like the ultimate players coach of all time. And you know, it's kind of funny that things didn't really work out for Vernon there, but there's a couple of things that played into it. It's funny talking to him earlier this week, he's never really been in a room and this was also at Florida, and I remember covering his pro day. He was the guy that everybody leaned on in Tampa, and he was still a young guy, and he was the guy that everybody looked to. And it was like he was telling me this week, just like, it's great to have some veterans in the DB room, like Jonathan Joseph and guys that have been around, to where I'm not the guy that everybody's looking to. And I think that's kind of a little bit part of it, that he needs a fresh start. And I love what the Texans have done with him and Conley. And it's just like, hey, let's find talent and go see if, like, when they get here, things can be different. Because it's going to work out with maybe both, one of them probably. And I just think what they're going to try to do with him is, which to me is a little interesting, is look for him to be playing inside a little bit. And that's kind of what they have in plan a little bit right now. And maybe they see something that Tampa didn't really see. But at the same time, Tampa's trying to turn over their organization right now, and that played a little bit part of it. But I think just look for him to be used differently here than maybe he was used in Tampa.
It looks like T.Y. Hilton's going to play tonight. You said Romeo Crennel, when you talked to him earlier this week, was preparing like T.Y. Hilton was going to play. Was there ever any doubt in your mind?
He laughed at me.
What's that?
Yeah. He laughed at me when I was like, have you been preparing for T.Y. all week? And he's like, yeah. I mean, he's gonna play. He's like, there's no doubt he doesn't play. I was like, okay, all right, relax, Romeo. Okay, got it.
What about, okay, so the big question would be his counterpart, Will Fuller.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the big question mark obviously is Fuller and Roby, right? Like with the hamstrings that they've been out for so long, can they go? And this is the hard spot that the Texans are in, right? Both of them weren't ready for last Sunday, and obviously that's why they didn't play. But the being ready for this game and having an opportunity to test those hamstrings was the difficult spot, because you don't have practices. Like, you don't have real practices on a Thursday night game week where you can actually see if you can go out and do it. So my understanding is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they're trying to find some other avenues, either before or after practice, somewhere else, to see if those guys could test it a little bit. And they want to test it today on the field as well before the game to see if they can go. The hard spot they're in is, like I said, you don't get an actual practice to test the hamstring, but you really need them to play and how huge this game is. But if they get a setback in any sense, do they play again this year? Right. So like, it's such a difficult spot to read where they are with these injuries. There was a little bit, in my understanding, a small more amount of optimism with Fuller leading into the Ravens game than there was Roby. So maybe he's a little bit ahead of where Roby was. Roby's was a little bit worse than everybody kind of anticipated. So I don't know. The Texans are in a really difficult spot. I don't think there's any question T.Y. doesn't play. I think there's a lot more question marks surrounding Eric Ebron than there is T.Y. for the Colts. And I do think with Ebron, I'd put Will and Robe in the same group, as in, God, I don't really know.
Yeah, Roby's been out since week 6, the Kansas City game. Will Fuller's been out since week 7, the first game this season against the Colts. James Palmer, the NFL Network, joining us on the program. James, you spend a lot of time around this team. It's a team that, going back to Bill O'Brien's first year here, has generally been pretty good at taking bad losses and moving on from them. They're 9-1 under Bill O'Brien, following double-digit losses when they're still playing for something. What is it about this team? Is that a normal thing in your travels in the NFL? Is that a normal thing you see with NFL teams being able to kind of compartmentalize, or is there something about this particular Texans team, this head coach, maybe this quarterback, that makes this team have a superior ability to move on from losses like the one they had to the Ravens?
Well, obviously, Sean, like, the quarterback plays a part, right? Like, that's unquestionable. He keeps you in every single game. I mean, like, that they got blown out on Sunday, and that's the first time he lost a regular season game by more than 8 points, to me is remarkable. He just always finds a way to keep them in games. But I don't think it's a normal thing around the league. And that's usually when you can tell the way organizations are run. You could say it's from the top all the way down, but a lot of times it's how the leaders in your locker room operate, and it's how your coaching staff prepares them and gets them ready. It's funny, I was talking to Hop earlier this week, and I was like, when did you move on to the Colts, knowing how big of a game that was? He was like, dude, beginning of the fourth quarter, I was already thinking about the Colts. Like, it wasn't even, like, in question. I was already moved on to Indianapolis. And so I do think Bill has a big influence in how they focus and how they move on. And I talked to, you know, a couple people this week about the talent that, and this is another one of the things that makes Deshaun Watson great. And Tim Kelly told me this week, where I think he's a great player because he has the ability to just flip the script. Good play, bad play, on to the next play. Good game, bad game, on to the next game. So I talked to Deshaun about it, and he told me it actually goes all the way back to high school. I'll give his high school coach a name drop. His name's Michael Perry, and he instilled this in Deshaun in high school, to where it was called snap and clear was kind of the mantra. And he's used that all the way through to where nothing ever carries on to the next game. So the point I'm making is, with your question, I think the quarterback has a big part of that because he's the exact same dude, whether they won by 40 or lost by 40, moving on to the next game. And I think Bill instills that in Deshaun as well, and he has that kind of mentality. So I think that's why the Texans never really dwell when things go bad, because their quarterback and their head coach kind of have a similar mentality of just, I don't care what happened last week or last play. As Bill always says, you're only as good as your last play. That's kind of the way that he runs the organization. I think that's why they have a pretty decent record in terms of bouncing back.
We're speaking with James Palmer from the NFL Network. James, as you were talking about that, and with Deshaun Watson and the snap and clear, I started thinking about how much they've talked this year about avoiding the noise, not listening to the noise outside the organization. And I think back to various teams I've been on where sometimes it was the TV was always on NFL Network or ESPN. Other teams,
yeah,
it wasn't.
Nice plug.
Have you gotten a feel for which teams watch you guys the most? Do you ever walk into a building and you're like, oh, this guy definitely heard what Jeff Saturday, or well, it wouldn't be Jeff Saturday, this somebody else said about him?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, if you feel like you said something, you know, a little bit questionable, do you tiptoe into that building and be like, hey, guys, and just like wondering if anybody was watching? But like, I do know there's certain teams that have TVs on in their locker room all the time. And ours is NFL Network is usually on in most of the buildings. Not Mitchell Trubisky's building. He wants all the TVs right off. He doesn't want anybody watching anything. But it does vary by group, and it's funny because like the ones that watch and the ones that pay attention to it, it doesn't really have any correlation with success at all. Some are just more interested. Some coaches and teams just don't care. It's usually up to the coach about whether they want the TVs on or not. And a lot of times it's mainly because guys are just interested in what's happening around the league. Like, yeah, when I go team to team, guys are always asking me like, they're like, wait, what game were you just at? And I'm like, oh, I just did Titans Chiefs, which I did do, which was an insane finish. And they're like, you know, oh, what's, how's so-and-so been? I played college ball with him. Like, what's up with him? Like, you know what I mean? They're just always curious about what's going on in the league. Because they're eventually going to play almost everybody. And so there's always just that curiosity, I think, that's there. The blocking it entirely out, I think it's a lot of just noise that guys say. I think they're always just kind of, I mean, you go to any guy in a locker room. JJ did it the other day. He comes out of the shower. He's like, first thing he does before he even gets dressed is he picks up his phone and starts scrolling through like Twitter. Like, you know, so they all know what's going on. I think blocking things out is just kind of like something that's kind of cute to say.
James, really appreciate you coming on. I know you've got a busy day. Everybody should tune in and watch for James,
yes,
on the NFL Network.
Wow,
also,
thanks, guys.
Follow him on Twitter at James Palmer TV. He's probably got an Instagram account.
Yeah, James Palmer, or as I like to call him, Mitchell Trubisky's boogeyman. Right? You don't want to see
not want to see me coming.
Yeah. That's right,
he does
man.
Not want to see me coming. I'm also the only person at NRG Stadium right now. I've been running routes all morning since about 6 a.m. I'm like the only person here.
You running around like Tom Cruise in Risky Business? Do you get in your tighty whities and play a little Bob Seger?
No,
and slide around
like
in the lobby?
No, it's more like Patrick Dempsey when he was in that movie where he's in that Costco all by himself. It wasn't a Costco, but whatever, and the robbers come. You remember that old Patrick Dempsey 80s movie?
No,
where he's trapped in the building?
I got stuck.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible. It's absolutely dreadful.
You said Patrick Dempsey in 80s, and I started thinking about the one where he was the...
Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah, no.
Can't Buy Me Love on the lawnmower?
No, the one before that where he was the kid lover. The older women kept falling in love with him, and he kept getting
in trouble
for
that. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. I got to extend my Patrick Dempsey catalog.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure if JJ was listening to us and he heard that you were the only one at the stadium, he's speeding over in his, in his pickup truck right now, just to be sure.
I'm supposed to be the first one in and last one to leave.
Just watch your back, James.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's right. I'd like some company, so I wouldn't be against it.
There you go. JJ and James are going to be doing box jumps together within 45 minutes.
That's right. James Palmer, NFL Network. James, we'll see you out there later on today, man.
All right, guys. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks for coming on. James Palmer giving us a few minutes of his time here on a game day Thursday.
As long, you guys should really watch NFL Network so you can and reach out to him. You know what? Reach out to James on Twitter and say, hey, that was awesome hearing you. You guys should be on with those guys in the morning.
You
as much
should,
as possible.
Yeah. At James Palmer TV.
He's very good. When I used to be on CSN all the time, I'd go over there. I was on CSN 3 days a week when it was still here.
Yeah.
And James was always over there, and I was really impressed with him. I always expected that. Whether or not CSN would go defunct, I thought that James would do good things.
Yeah, I'm impressed. They put the video up of his hit this morning over there.
Yeah.
I'm just jealous of how good the guy looks at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, he's very
you and I come in here, we look like we got run over by a bus.
He's going to be another Frank Reich. I'm going to be plotting ways to disfigure his face 10 years from
now. Okay, well,
hopefully
he's not listening
anymore. You're aging too well. Don't know, that's cool. Everybody, just follow him on Twitter. That makes up for the talk
right,
of disfigurement.
Right. They cancel each other
out. Yeah, just be cool. Say, hey. Hey, you were awesome, and Seth said he's definitely not going to disfigure you.
I hear that the conversion chart is a physical threat is worth 5 pumps up of somebody's Twitter account. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.